Our scripture today comes from Philippians, that great letter of the Apostle Paul to the church at Philippi. As we continue in our study of Down to Earth, the second chapter, verses 5-8. I'm using the New Revised Standard Version. The words will be on the screen. I invite you to join in, not only with your eyes, but with your hearts, as we go to the scriptures. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God in us, for the word of God with us, thanks be to God. Will you pray with me, please? Holy, gracious, loving, and awesome God, for this moment, for this time, for this place, and for this people, I give you thanks. Quiet our minds. Quiet our hearts. That we may feel you and hear you as we never have before. For this time of year can be rather crazy. It can be full of calendars. It can be full of shopping and full of events, and the to-do list can be long. And right now in this moment, God, make us still before you, that we may receive your word, that we may hear you, that we may experience you. Lift up your cross and your cradle, God, that we may understand the totality of the incarnation. Hide me behind your cross, God. I do not wish to be seen. I wish only that you will be glorified and that only your word may proceed. Speak, Lord. Speak, my Lord. For your servant is listening. All thanks to you, God. Amen. We continue today with our second in the series of Down to Earth. Last week was Down to Earth, Love. Today is Down to Earth, Humility. Like many of you this week, I have watched the reports coming from Sevier County with a broken heart as our beloved Smoky Mountains have been set ablaze with the wildfires that have ravaged the majestic range that has stood over our eastern border for as long as we can remember. As I watch the news stories of lives lost, families separated, and the negative economic impact, I began to remember the many times I've gone to that part of our beautiful state, the wondrous fall colors of the mountains, the caramel apples, the pancakes, the rides and shows, the pottery, the music, switchback trails, chimney tops, the bears, the deers, the wildflowers, and the list goes on and on. Now the only images were of smoke, ashes, desolation, and heartbreak. I found myself dropping into a deep despair. These wildflowers were hitting way too close to home. These wildflowers were the last straw in a year that seemed to have been burning for far too long. It is as if the entire year has been one story after another of loss, catastrophe, pain, and violence. It is as if there has been too little or no good news this year, and the fires continue to burn. Here we are at the time of year when bells are supposed to be ringing and carols to be singing, and life is burning away. Here we are at the time of the year when children are to be expectantly joyful, and there are some children who now have no home and wish to have a tree. There are families in Chattanooga whose children's stockings cannot be hung by the fire. There are families in our communities worried that they will be separated because of the politics of borders. There are empty chairs at tables, and there are no tables and chairs because there are families living in cars and tents. There are families waiting in hospital rooms for news. There are families hoping to hear that the adoption will be final. And there are lonely, isolated individuals longing for anyone to notice that they are among the human condition. And there are men and women separated from their families because they believe that the defense of freedom cannot take a holiday. The powerful are taking advantage of those without power. The weak suffer and the greedy become greedier. The rhetoric escalates and the problems remain. We talk, but we do not listen. We blame, but we do not solve the problems. We vote, but we do not unite. And the fires continue to burn. It is into such a world that a humble, servant, relational God comes. Into this messy, broken, burning world comes the God who taught us humility by becoming humble incarnate. You see, Jesus chose to come to us. He came to us because we simply did not understand what it meant to love in a way that would stop the burning, stop the hate, stop the violence, the hunger, and the isolation. We did not, do not, know how to love in a way that would prevent the total destruction of our lives without a Christ coming to us in a humble manger. Without the incarnation, we could never have understood the depth of adoration God has for God's creation. Without Christ humbling himself and coming to us in the form of a vulnerable infant in need of our care and protection, we would not have been able to be vulnerable to his grace. Without Christ kneeling to wash the feet of those who would betray, deny, and leave him, we would not have the example of a love that transcends hate, a love that can stop the burning. It is into this love that we are called to be active participants, not mere spectators, kneeling at the ceramic nativity sets, ooing as we unwrap them from their year-long slumber in the attic. If the fires of hate, destruction, and depression are to be overcome, then our love must become more than an emotion, more than a warm, fuzzy feeling, more than a four-letter word. Our love must become action, active, and visible. But for that to start, we must first become humbly obedient to God. We must bow before our Maker and acknowledge that we are the created, not the Creator. We must admit that we do not have the capacity to solve problems in and of ourselves, but we do know the one who is the source of all wisdom. We must admit that our love fails when we try to operate outside the will and grace of God. In order to be obedient to God, we first must realize that we need a change in our mindset. Writing to his beloved community of faith at Philippi, Paul encourages them by saying, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave." If Christ can humble himself, why do we not do likewise? If the Lord of the universe can take on the form of a servant, why do we balk at the notion of serving one another in the name of Christ? To say that we are followers of the living, resurrected Christ means that we have died to our old selves and now have new ways of being human. The old self has been put off, and we have learned to clothe ourselves with the new self, created according to the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Proud people are full of themselves. Humble people are full of God. Pride leaves very little room for love, while humility provides a space for love to grow and be active in our lives. Pride blazes through us completely, leaving us in ashes. Humility opens us to the great possibility of community and the kingdom of God. Pride tears us apart, whereas humility brings us together into fruitful relationships that give our lives meaning and purpose. Pride separates. Humility binds us together. Pride cries for more and more, is never satiated. Humility finds contentment knowing that by living simply, others can simply live. Pride burns. Humility heals. On the night before the final act of love, Christ took off his robe, tied a towel around his waist, and got on his knees. Untying the sandals of the disciples, he humbled himself and washed their feet. Their feet were dirty, really dirty. Their feet were crusted with dirt, and I'm sure that some of their feet needed medical attention from traveling they had done to get to Jerusalem. It had been a long and challenging 3 years. Lessons had been taught, water changed to wine, thousands fed, blind made to see, lame could now walk. Storms had been quieted, dead had been raised, children had been blessed, and a people received back into community. Arguments had been made, won, and lost. They had laughed together, slept where they could, and been chased out of some places. Questions had been asked, and some had been answered. Doubts and fears had been raised, and tender moments had been shed. Now, the babe of Bethlehem was kneeling before them. He tenderly washed all of their feet. He washed the feet of the former tax collector and former fisherman. He washed the feet of ordinary men whose names we have trouble remembering. He cleaned and dried the feet of the one into whose care he would leave his mother. Jesus bathed the feet of Peter, boisterous, impetuous, bold Peter. Peter, to whom the keys of the kingdom would be given. Peter, the one who would deny he had ever known him. Peter, the one who would be forgiven 3 times. And yes, Christ washed the feet of Judas. Out of love and through the power of humility, Christ washed the feet of Judas. Humility is an invitation to a new way of living. May we accept that invitation today. Thanks be to God. Amen.